Awesome. Well, Merry Christmas to everybody. Thank you guys so much for being with us here at Victory this morning. Man, it's so amazing to have this time of year where we focus in on the story and the message of Christmas, of Jesus coming to earth. And that's what our series this month is all about, Christmas. And it's called God With Us. It's called God With Us. And it's awesome to see the message of Christmas, but it's so much better when you got all the cute kiddos, you know, just telling the story and singing the songs. It's incredible. But our series comes from a passage of Scripture, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And it's a prophecy that was written 800 years before Jesus was even born. How many of you guys would like people to be talking about you 800 years before you've been born, right? This is God's plan for Christmas. And what he says is, therefore the Lord will give you a sign. He'll give you a sign. It's not just for the rich. It's not just for the powerful. It's not just for the chosen few. It's for everybody. The Lord wants to give you specifically a sign. He says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they'll call him Emmanuel. And when Matthew's telling the Christmas story, he cites this verse and he explains. He says, Emmanuel means God with us. Everybody turn to somebody next to you and say, God is with us. Now, I'm excited about Christmas. Who in here is excited about Christmas? Yes, there we go. There we go. Now, who's got their tree up already? Anybody got their tree up? There we go. Anybody not have your tree up? Throw your hands up. Yeah, there we go. Just wait. Hey, it's not the 25th yet, right? It's not the 25th. Well, here's my next question, though. Who's got a real tree? Where are my real tree people at? There we go. Whoa! Still staying faithful, right? There's like 10 of y'all, but all right. And who's got the artificial tree? Throw it up. There we go. All right. That's incredible. Who's got both? Anybody got both? There we go. Yeah, y'all are the real Christmas people, all right? Y'all got both the real and the artificial. This morning, as I was thinking about the message, I thought of a story from 1999, right? I was alive in 1999. It feels good. I was alive a whole millennium ago, okay? But in 1999, in Mississippi, and we know all good stories start in Mississippi, okay? But anyways, the Mississippi State Capitol, this was when the artificial tree, real tree debate kind of was really going big. And so the Mississippi State Capitol said that year they were going to switch from a big real tree that they kept in the state capitol, and they were going to switch it for an artificial tree this is how they worded it. I'm going to read it just so I get it exactly right. They said it was out of concern for the fire hazard caused by real trees. They're just kind of letting people know it's not safe to have the real tree, so they've switched to the artificial tree. And this is, again, how it's worded. It says, however, the artificial tree promptly caught fire and forced the entire building to be evacuated. And a later news story says it took months and months and months to clean up the mess from the fire that the fireproof tree caused. And only in Mississippi, right? Only in Mississippi. Somebody turn to somebody next to you and say, that did not go how they expected, right? Thank God for Mississippi. That's great. But but anybody ever had a day like that, right? Where you tried everything to prevent failure, to prevent a mess up, to prevent everything from going up in flames. And no matter how hard you tried, all your good intentions went up in flames and you were left with the ashes. Anybody ever had a day like that? Come on, make some noise. Anybody had a day like that before? I'm not the only one, right? I'm not the only one. And some of you guys are like, I had a day like that. I've had some weeks like that, right? Or maybe you're like, 2018 has been a year like that for some of you guys, right? Where you've tried everything to set yourself up. You tried everything to prevent mess ups and shame coming on you. You've tried to prevent everything, but no matter how hard you tried, no matter how many right things you did, all your good intentions just went up in flames and you were left with the ashes. And now see, the thing is, we've got all these expectations. We've got all these plans. And the reality is, life doesn't always go how we expect it to. It doesn't always go how we suppose that it should. And the thing is, we always kind of have this way of messing up all our good intentions and kind of just watching them go up in flames. We have this amazing thing about us as humans. Me, myself, specifically, you can ask my wife, right? I try so hard to be good, and then I can't, right? And the Bible talks about that. It says all of us have sinned. We've all messed up. We've all fallen short of our expectations. We've all fallen short of the glory of God is how it writes it. But the message of Christmas, and I'm only going to take 5 minutes. We're going to be real quick because I know y'all want to go out there and hug those cute little necks. But the message of Christmas is this, is that, and the message of Emmanuel, of God with us, is this, is that the same way we have this unique way of unexpectedly turning our good intentions around into failure and mess up, and God has his way of taking our failures, taking our mistakes, taking our sin, taking our shame, and turning it around into victory. Amen. And that's the message of Christmas. That's the message of Emmanuel, of God with us. And the Bible says it this way, and I love to have that story of the Christmas tree that wasn't supposed to get burnt up, left with the ashes. I love that picture because the Bible says it this way. It says that God trades you beauty for your ashes. When your mistakes and your failures and your mess ups have left you with just the pile of ashes of the things that you've burnt up and the things you've broken and the things that you've messed up, it says that God is there, God with us, God is here with us today to take your ashes, take them from you, and instead put something beautiful in its place. And that's the story of Christmas. And the thing that I love is that time and time and time with God, he does it in a way that we don't expect. He does it in a way that we don't expect. I mean, think about the first Christmas. Think about the Christmas story. What we were up here, you know, you kind of get hard to it after just kind of hearing it over and over and over again. But let's just back up big picture. Look at everything. The very first Christmas, God's problem that he was trying to solve was this, was that every single human being on earth was lost. And Jesus said they were a slave to their sin. And his name, Jesus, Yeshua, the name means that God will save his people from their sins. And so the way that God saw this problem and saw that every human being, you and me, every single one of us was lost and was a slave to our sin, the way he decided to solve it was to send his one and only son from heaven to earth to be born as a baby on earth. Think about that for a second. Christmas isn't what you'd expect. If you were faced with the exact same problem of people who were in slavery to something, who had a problem, would you solve the problem with a baby? I mean, I don't know about y'all, but when our kids were babies, there were more problems than solutions sometimes, right? You know, like just, I don't want to talk about diapers again because I'm going to get in trouble. But I mean, sometimes there are more problems than solutions about things. They cause more hardship sometimes, right? God shows us in Christmas that the way he solves things isn't the way that we expect him to solve things. But it doesn't mean that it's not good, because I want to say this, is that if God solved every problem the way that I expected him to, or if God solved every problem the way I maybe even wanted or desired him to, man, he wouldn't be God. He wouldn't be God if he did it that way. And the thing is, if you think about Christmas, not only was he a baby, but he was a baby born into poverty, born into a stable. We saw the cute little animals in here, but it was probably a whole lot less cute the first night, right? It probably stunk. And it was probably don't let the cow step on the baby. You know, like all this stuff. It probably wasn't as cute the very first night. He was born into, just think about this. The God of the entire universe was born into a stable on a bed of hay. He was the one who created the entire universe. If he'd have snapped his little baby fingers, the whole, every little piece of hay could have turned into a piece of gold. Like, why in the world would God send his son to do something like this and do it in this way? Why would he do it that way? And yet, as you see over and over and over and over again in the life of Jesus, that God does things in ways that we don't expect. God does things in ways that we don't expect. And the thing is, we have to look at the why of Christmas. Why do we get up here? Why do we make a big deal? Why, you know, if we just did it because the kids were cute, that would be good. You know, that would be one thing. But we celebrate Christmas every year and we look at it because the why of Christmas is so incredibly important. The why of Christmas is the why of the cross. His birth and his death are tied together. You can never separate the two. The why of Christmas is the why of the cross. In the story of Jesus, I always kind of wondered about this. I said, why did, if God the Father was so loving and strong, you know, why did he send his son? Why did he send him as a baby? Why didn't, you know, if it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and why did the Father send his son? Why didn't the Father just take the place? You know, that at best, I was thinking God the Father just being kind of hands off. And at worst, maybe he's cold and cruel. I don't know if anybody else has ever had that question or had that thought before, but that was always on my mind until 2012, the birth of my first son. And I don't know if any of you guys have ever kind of gone through this thing, but this was a big thing for me. And I'm somebody who I've kind of got the gift of faith. And even if I have questions, I kind of just, I still trust in God. But that was always a question that was there. And one night in the weeks or about the month right after my first son was born, I was sitting there holding this little baby. I was sitting there holding this little helpless little baby. And I was just looking into his eyes. And my wife and I had done our Bible reading that night on John chapter 3. And most people probably heard John chapter 3 or John 3:16 before, but I'm going to ask the tech guys to pull up John 3:16. And we had read this verse just, you know, minutes or maybe within an hour of as I'm just sitting there holding my first son. And this is the scripture that was just ringing in my ears still an hour later. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life." God so much loved you, and he so much loved me, that he gave his son. That he gave his son. And as I was thinking about that, and I'm holding my son, tears just started falling from my eyes, y'all. Tears just started falling from my eyes. And I was just praying, not some nice, pretty, beautiful prayer, but I was sitting there crying and I was saying to God, "God, I get it now. God, I get it now. It's not that you're hands off. It's not that you're cold and cruel, but I see now as I'm holding my son that God, it hurt you that much worse that it was your son. It hurts you that much worse that it was your son." And yes, the cross hurt. Yes, it was excruciating. And to kind of lift our spirits this morning, the cross, historians say, was actually they say that it was the one form of execution over all of the history of mankind. It was the worst. That it hurt the worst. And I believe that the pain of the cross was one thing, but the pain of the Father watching the son go through it was even worse. Because then you guys who have children or you have a child close to you, a nephew or something, like if you ever saw them in pain, all you wanted to do was just take their place, right? All you wanted to do was just take their place. And this morning, the message of Christmas I want to tell you is that God saw you in the pain and the slavery of sin. And you know what he did was he took your place. He took your place. And that's the message I want to give to us this morning of God with us. And as we're wrapping up, that's the message I want to give to you is that God does things in ways that you don't expect. He takes your place when you're stuck in slavery to sin, and he takes the penalty of your sin. All the mess ups and all the things that you've just seen go up in flames, that you're just left with the pile of ashes. His word promises you that through Christmas, through Jesus, through God with us, through God coming down to live on earth and take your penalty and my penalty on the cross, that he's going to trade the ashes that you've burnt up of your life, and he's going to trade and put something beautiful in its place. Come on, give God some glory this morning. And this is what I want to close with this morning, is that God doesn't do things the way that you'd expect him to. But that's what makes him God. That's what makes him God. If he did everything the way I expected him to or wanted him to, he wouldn't be worthy of the name God because he'd be just as dumb as me. And instead, God doesn't work like that. Instead of thinking how I think, He's able to do far above all we hope or ask for. That's a promise of Scripture. He's able to do it. And it says this also, that as far as the heavens are above the earth, so are His ways higher than our ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His expectations and His plans are so much higher than our expectations and our plans. And I believe that that's what Christmas says. Christmas says to us, as we look at Christmas, we can see that God's ways are so much better than whatever our expectations are. And so as we close up today and as we pray, maybe you've been, you know, as 2018 comes to a close, and maybe you're one of those people who's just left in a pile of ashes. Of all the things you've burnt up and all the things that you've made mistakes and all the mess ups that you have, you're just sitting in ashes. And maybe you're looking at 2019, you know, people give you those new calendars. Normally people are excited, but you look at 2019, you're like, oh goodness, I got another year coming. Maybe you're expecting 2019 to be a whole bunch of the same. Why would you expect any different, right? You're expecting 2019 to be the same. Why would you expect any different? And what I want to do today is I want to declare over every person in this church the promise of Scripture that God has a plan for your life. And God's plan for your life is so much bigger, so much better than any plan or any expectation that you might have. If 2018 didn't go the way you expected to in a bad way and you're left in a pile of ashes, I want to tell you that you need to stop leaning on your own expectation, instead lean on God's plan and His way for your life. Some of y'all need a miracle in your life. And I don't say that in a joking way. I see some of y'all need a miracle in your life. If you want to see real eternal change, you got to kind of say goodbye to your way and your plans and your expectations and start believing that God's ways are higher. Believing that His plans and His thoughts and His ways are higher than your ways and your plans and your thoughts. If you want a fresh start, the Bible promises, God says, behold, I do a new thing. He's not going to do the same thing over and over and over again. But for you in 2019, at this Christmas season, 2018, He wants to do a new thing in your life. He wants to do a new thing in your life. You want a fresh start? God is there with His arms wide open. And all you got to do, all you got to do is say, God, I don't want my way anymore. I want Your way. Repent is what the Bible says. Turn from your sin. And some of y'all are like, Pastor, I can't do that. I'm not perfect. That's perfect. Come on, join the club if you're not perfect. We're not a church of perfect people. So you'll fit right in. It's perfect. But this is what I want to say today. Is if you want your life changed, you can't do it. Keep following your expectations. You got to do it God's unexpected way. Let's take today as an opportunity, not just to celebrate the season like we talked about last week, but let's take today as an opportunity to celebrate our Savior. So let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes today. I want everybody in here, bow your heads, close your eyes. Nobody looking around. And I want to take today as an opportunity, not just to celebrate the Savior, but the best way to do it is to take a step closer to God. Take one step closer to God, no matter where you are in your relationship with Him. If you've been going here to Victory for you know 20, 30 years, right? You're in. That's incredible, y'all. But I want to say this. You can always be one step closer to God. Some of y'all need to take this year and say, God, you know, look back at 2018 and say, yes, I'm in ashes, but it's because I've been following my way and not your way. Some of us need to repent maybe of some mistakes. Some of us need to repent from some pride. Some of us need to repent from some broken relationships that we've got. And I want to tell you that God is the healer of broken relationships. And He does it through Jesus. He starts with your relationship with Him, but He wants to heal every relationship. Some of y'all are stressed about Christmas because you know you got to see that person. Because you know you got to see that relative. I want to tell you and declare to you this day that God wants to heal that broken relationship, whatever it is. It begins with your forgiveness today. As God's forgiven you, also forgive the people that's with you. And if you're one of the people in here who you just say, look, my life has been one of those days where I'm just sitting in ashes and my sin and my mistakes and my mess ups are just there. And God, I haven't accepted. I've never accepted God's way before. I'm still stuck in my sin. I'm still expecting 2019 to be a year where the same thing happens over and over and over again. And I don't know what to do to get out of it. I want to tell you this morning that Jesus is there waiting. And it says He takes your sin And he trades your ashes for his beauty. He wants to give you a beautiful new life with his plan and his purpose. And he wants to see you not be pressed down and broken by the world, but he wants to see you go and change the world. So if you're there this morning, you're one of those people who you're stuck in your sin and you need, you feel, you identify, you know you're a slave to that sin and you can't get out and you want Jesus to do it today. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he wants to do a miracle in your life. If that's you this morning, everybody, your head bowed, nobody looking around. If that's you this morning and you say that you're stuck in your sin, you want to turn from it and you want to give your life to Jesus and let him heal you. If that's you this morning, I'm going to count 1, 2, 3, and I want you to raise your hands this morning. 1, 2, 3, where are we? Awesome. Incredible. Amazing. Anybody else? Anybody else? I see those hands. Awesome. That's incredible, y'all. Anybody else want to join these 10 people who raised their hands this morning? Amazing. This is what we're going to do this morning. You keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed. I'm going to ask the whole church to pray this prayer with me. Everybody in here this morning, let's pray this prayer together so the 10 who raised their hands aren't feeling singled out. Let's all say it fresh and new. God, we want to give you our lives. And I'm going to pray this prayer, and I'm going to just ask you to repeat these words after me. And it's not the words that save you, it's the heart behind it, reaching out to God. He sees your heart. He sees your soul. He wants to see you reaching out. So I'm going to pray this prayer, and I just want you to repeat after me. Say, dear God, I thank you that you're with us. I thank you that you saw me in my sin, and you still chose to come to earth. That you chose to live for me, and that you chose to die for me on the cross. God, I thank you for what you've done for me. I thank you for giving your life for me. And so today I give my life to you. I turn away from my sin. I turn away from seeking my own way. And today I turn to you. And I turn to your life. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we stand up and give God a big clap for the 10 who gave their lives to the Lord this morning? Y'all, it's a Merry Christmas when people are giving their lives to Jesus. Can I get an amen this morning? As we close out this morning, we're going to sing that song, God is So Good Again. And I want you to sing it like you've never sung it before and think about God with us. And think of all the things that he's done in your life in a way that you've never expected before. But he did it his way. And you saw the victory when you thought there was only defeat. That when you emptied yourself out, you saw the Lord fill you up. He does things in ways that we don't expect because he is so good. So let's lift up our voices this morning. Let's sing, God is so good.
Oh God, you're so good.